Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we'd like to say shalom and welcome to our live presentation of the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ radio show entitled Let the Truth Be Told. Okay, first, we'd like to give honor to God the Father, Abba, and to God the Son, the Almighty Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We would like to also give thanks to them for giving us the Holy Apostle and Chief High Priest, Tazadakia, the God-sent Comforter, for teaching us all things and bringing back these things to our remembrance concerning him and his word, so that the truth of the word of the Almighty God can be taught again in the time that we're living in. I'm your host for today's show, Captain 13,000, Shawakwa Malak. Today's teacher for the show, we have Captain of 13,000, Nabakar. Shalom. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, sir.
Yes, sir. Also, for today's class, our reader is Officer 500, Shawakwa.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom, sir. Hey, shalom. How you doing, sir? Today's topic. Captain 13,000, can you tell me what today's topic is?
Yeah, today's topic is going to be we're talking about the Bible, not income. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? Is it God or is it man?
Okay. Who wrote the Bible? Is it God or is it man? You know, that's a big controversy out here. So definitely through the Word of God, we're going to clear this up. Clear up the controversy. Okay, you can go ahead and start the class, sir.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, we'll get right to it. So, we were talking about the Bible today. You know, if you're listening to the show, if you're tuning in, you probably have a Bible at home. You know, it probably means a lot to you. You know, you love your Bible. Inside the Bible, it holds a lot of memory, it holds strength, it holds salvation, and most importantly, it holds the Word of God. So what we're going to talk about today is who wrote those words in the Bible. So to do that, we got to be able to prove that. What's the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? So a lot of people that like to say that man wrote the Bible. So people that say that man wrote the Bible, they don't trust in the Bible. And a lot of people like to say that they don't trust it because things have changed over the times, right? We think that man has come in and changed the work of God. Usually because you have a lot of different translations out there. You got the NIV, New King James Version of the Bible, and CBT, you got more Mormon books that are out there. So when we're using the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ, and what's supposed to be used is the King James Version of the Bible. Now, you might ask why. Why do we use the King James Version of the Bible when there's so many other translations out there? You know, a lot of people like to use the NIV version of the Bible because the King James is a lot easier to understand over the King James version of the Bible. So what we're going to clearly show is that you have to stick to the King James version of the Bible. The main reason that we use the King James version of the Bible right now is because we speak in English, right? The majority of the world speaks in English. So we have to use an English Bible to speak to the people. But because we speak in English, an English version is used, and an English version is the King James Version of the Bible. Now, why? That's the first thing, right, Ken? Why the King James Version of the Bible? Why not any other version? Because the King James Version is actually the closest translation from the Hebrew to the actual English. So when you use Hebrew Bible, the Bible, when you look at the history, the Bible was originally written in Hebrew. So now we're using English, right? So we use the King James Version because that version is the closest translation from the actual Hebrew to the English. So what other translation is needed, right? So if I'm speaking in Spanish, usually you need somebody to translate it because you don't speak Spanish. Now, how many translators do you need there to interpret it for you? Do you need 5 translators for it to translate for that person speaking in Spanish? No, you just need 1 translator there, right? So when it comes to the Bible, we already have a translation, and that's the King James Version of the Bible. So why do we need any other translation out there? So what those other translations actually do is they actually change the word of God, which is very dangerous. So when we look at the King James Version of the Bible, back in the days of King James, men back then were different from men that are here right now. Men back then, they were actually honored back then, and they had the fear of God in them. So what they did was that they went painstakingly through each word in the Hebrew and made sure that that word from the Hebrew to the English was translated correctly. They made sure that it had the same meaning, right? So when you look at that, you have to ask the question, why? Why did they go through it like that to make sure that those words from the Hebrew to the English were translated correctly? And why did they make sure that those words had the same meaning? Because what happens is when you change the meaning of the words, you change the message. Now, what we're talking about is the Bible, and we're talking about the words of God. So when you change the message, whose message are you changing? You're changing God's message, which is very dangerous. So these new translations, they change the message of what God wants to put out. So this is why we stick to the King James Version of the Bible. Now, going deeper into the class, did King James write the Bible? That's what a lot of people have confused. They think that King James wrote the Bible, right? Did Paul, or the Apostle Paul, write the Bible? Did Moses write the Bible? Did Isaiah, Ezekiel? You got the names of these men, but these are the ones that actually wrote the Bible? Well, through the word of God, we're going to find out. If my reader could give me the book of Psalm 68 and verse 11. Psalm 68 and verse 11. So the question still stands, who wrote the Bible? Did God write the Bible? Because some people may say, well, your man wrote the Bible. It says men's names on that list. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Yod, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Malachi, Isaiah, right? So a lot of people have to say that these men, that actually wrote the words of God. Let's find out what God has to say about that. Psalm 68 and verse 11. Let's read that.
The Lord gave the word. The Lord gave the word.
It says the Lord gave the word, right? So now did King James write the Bible? No, King James didn't write the Bible. Now we just went through the King James Version of the Bible is what? It's a translation, right? From the actual Hebrew to English. So now we're talking about the Hebrew words, right? Who wrote those words? Let's read that again.
The Lord gave the word.
So God gave the word. Now let's read on.
Great was the company of those that published it.
It says great was the company of those that purposed the words of God, right? So what happens is when the men of God, these men that were just listed, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? These holy men of God, when they spoke, the Spirit of God was on them, right? Telling them what to say and telling them what to write down. So when you look back into the history of how the Bible was actually written, was God, he chose holy men and he would speak to them. And then the scribes would actually write those words that they spoke down, right? So the Bible was already published in the heavens. And what happened was it was recorded down here on earth. Let's read that one more time.
The Lord gave the word.
So who gave the word? God gave the word. The Lord, the Almighty Jesus Christ. He is the one that gave the word. What words? The words that we're reading out of the book that we're reading out of right now. The Holy Bible, the King James Version of the Bible. Who gave those words? Let's read it again.
The Lord gave the word.
Read on.
Great was the company of those that published it.
Great was the company of those that published it. Let's go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 20. So it says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. So how was the Bible published, right? What does that mean to be published? Put together. How was the Bible put together? 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. Let's read that.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation.
No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? That means the Bible breaks down itself. That's what that means. That means God doesn't need you to break down the Bible for him. So when the word of God was put together, whose spirit was on these men? God's spirit was on these men. Who wrote the Bible? God is the one that wrote the Bible. So let's read that again from the top.
knowing this verse, uh-huh. and no prophecy of the scripture.
No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Meaning what? You can't guess when it comes to the word of God. Meaning what? A lot of people like to say, I think that this verse means this, or I think that this verse means that. A lot of people have Bible studies up there, and what happens during these Bible studies is that they all pick a verse, or they pick a chapter out of the book of the Bible, and they'll sit down and have a discussion about that book, and they'll discuss what that chapter meant to them, or how that verse made them feel, or what they think that God was saying when they read that verse. So what is the scripture saying? We don't guess. We don't say, I think this verse means that. I think God meant this when he wrote this down. We don't guess when it comes to the word of God. Now, why can't we guess? Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. So why can't we guess? Because the first answer is God already has a meaning behind what he says. So that's why you can't guess when it comes to the word of God. Because God is the one that wrote it, and he wrote it with knowing already what he wanted to put out there. Well, so why can't we guess when it comes to the word of God? Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Let's read that.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
It says, my thoughts are what?
Are not your thoughts.
My thoughts are not your thoughts. What does that show us? That shows us that we don't think like God, right? So a lot of people are like to think that they're on the same level as God, but they can actually open up the Bible and go into the scriptures and figure out what God is talking about. That's not how it works. So the men that God chose to use to write the Bible, they actually have the Spirit of God on them. They weren't writing down what they wanted to write down. They weren't making up scriptures, right? These were men that actually had the Spirit of God on them. So you're seeing that what God did work. Because what are we saying? That men don't think like God. I don't think like God. We're not on the same level as God. So that means it would have been impossible for man to write the Bible. Because man is not on the same level as God. Let's read that again.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
You know?
Neither are your ways my way.
Yeah, so what he does, God doesn't need our thoughts to break down the Bible. He doesn't need our thoughts to break down his words, right? So now let's go back to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, and let's read verse 20 again.
No, it's this verse.
Uh-huh.
That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? That private interpretation is what? When you look at the scripture and you guess. And you guess what that scripture means. So you don't guess when it comes to the word of God. Because when you guess, what do you do? You can actually change the message. You can actually change the meaning. So we've seen why we have to stick to the same translation, the King James Version of the Bible. So we've seen why when we go into the scripture, why can't we guess when it comes to the understanding that's coming out of the scripture? Because why we don't think like God? You don't want to change that message. I mean, you got to think how you would feel if somebody changed your message. So you've been working on a job for I don't know, 25 years, and you've been underpaid, and you've been overworked. And finally, you're frustrated, and you decide to leave that job, and you tell them, listen, I've been overpaid. I've been underpaid, and I've been overworked. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of this place, and I quit. And you finally make your grand exit, right? And then somebody comes behind you and they decide to say, well, listen, he didn't really mean that. Listen, we love this gig. Okay, he's just mad right now. He'll be back. I heard him say that he'll come back. They told me what? Then came behind you and flipped what you said around. You then changed what you, and then changed how you feel. So when you go into the word of God and you start coming with private interpretations, you're changing the message that God wants to tell. You're speaking on behalf of God and you're speaking wrong, which is very dangerous. So let's read that again, 2 Peter 1 and verse 20.
Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Let's read the book of 2 Timothy 2 and 15. So no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. There was a right way and there was a wrong way to break down the Bible. And this is what you have to understand. Remember, we don't think like God thinks. So there's a right way and there's a wrong way to break down the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's read that.
Study. You shall thyself approve unto God.
Read on.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Read on.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rightly doing what?
Dividing the word of truth.
What is the word of truth? The word of God, right? So what is it showing that you have to rightly divide that word? Meaning if there's a right way, then there's a what? There's a wrong way. So if you're wrongly dividing the word of God, saying God meant this and he didn't mean that, or saying God meant that and he didn't mean that, what does that make you? That makes you a liar. That makes you a liar. So a lot of people have problems with the word of God because they'll say that there's contradictions. There are no contradictions. What's happening is you're getting the word of God broken down to you the wrong way, right? A lot of people have to say, well, this Bible says this way and that Bible says that way. When you're reading, you're reading the wrong translation. You need to stick to the King James Version of the Bible, right? So there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Let's read that again.
Study, you shall thyself approve unto God.
Read on.
A workman, it is not to be ashamed.
Read on.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's a right way. No, the wrong way. Let's go back to the book of 2 Peter 1:20. So if you're wrongly dividing the word of truth, which is the word of God, what does that make you? That makes you a liar. A lie, which is very dangerous. 2 Peter 1:20. Let's read that.
Nor is this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
You know?
For the prophecy came not in old time. But holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so we're getting right there. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, and we'll come right back to that. Proverbs 14:12. So if you're looking at the scripture and you don't know what it means, that means that God has an answer somewhere else in the Bible. And this is what you get in the about Church of God and Jesus Christ. You get the word of God rightly divided. You're going to get all the answers to your questions. You're going to get all the breakdowns. You're going to see that there are no contradictions in the Bible. You're going to see that the Bible was written by God and how perfect his word actually is in the about Church of God and Jesus Christ. Proverbs 14:12. Let's read that.
There's a way would seem right unto a man.
There's a way that makes things. You can read a little slow for me, sir. There's a way that seems right to a man, because a lot of people think that they're in the right church. A lot of people think that they're reading the right version. But if you're doing it the wrong way, read on.
But the end thereof are the ways of death.
Are the ways of what?
Death.
Yeah, so what does that mean, having the wrong interpretation? We'll get you killed. A lot of people think, let's go back to the book of 2 Peter 1:20. You can't get to the kingdom of heaven with an NIV version of the Bible. You can't get to the kingdom of heaven with a New King James version of the Bible. You can't get to the kingdom of heaven with the Book of Mormons or with the book that the Jehovah's Witnesses are putting out. Those are not the words of God, okay? So what do we show you? That you need to have the King James version of the Bible, which is written by holy men, moved by the Spirit of God. Right, and that you need to get those breakdowns and get that understanding out of the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:20. Let's read that again.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Read on.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men.
The prophecy came of what?
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man.
It came not by the will of man. When you go back into the Old Testament, what do you have? You have the first five books of the Bible, which are called the Torah. You have the writings, and you have the prophets, right? What do prophets do? These are men, chosen men by God to do what? A prophet prophesies, right? What is prophet? What is prophecy? That's the foretelling of future events, right? So when we read back into the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see that these men of God were talking about future events. Think about Moses and how he spoke outside of his time. You have John the Revelator. He's called John the Revelator in the book of Revelations, how he spoke about things that were outside of his time. And we read about these things in the Bible. So we're showing that these aren't regular men. How are these men able to write these books and speak about future events that are happening in the times that we're in right now, right? How are they able to do this? Let's read that again, verse 21.
So the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man.
Was it by their will? Was it by their will? Was it coming out of their mind? The scripture is telling us no. So we're seeing who's actually the one in control. Who is actually the one that's writing the Bible? It's not coming from man. It's coming from who? Let's read on.
But holy men.
And holy men, read on.
Of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
They spoke as they were moved by what? By the Holy Spirit. So these men, these chosen, righteous, holy men, were chosen by God. And he put his spirit, talking about God, put his spirit on these men to speak his words. So we're seeing where the word of God came from. The word of God is clearly seen, that the word of God is written by God and not by man. Let's read verse 21 again.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Right, so as we said before, how was the Bible put together? The Bible was spoken by a prophet, and it was recorded by a scribe here on earth. Remember, the Bible was already published in heaven. So God, he put the Spirit on holy men like Moses, on holy men like Isaiah, on holy men like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, right? He put his Spirit on these men, and they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to speak the words of God. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. We're seeing what clearly seeing that the word of God is written by God. And what does he do? He chooses men to write it down for him. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's read that.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
I'm sorry, read that again.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
So where did the words of God come from? It comes from God. It didn't come out of man's mind. The word of God isn't written by man. No man in his Bible made anything up. Who were these men moved by? They were moved by God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Read on.
And it's profitable for doctrine.
Read on.
For reproof.
Read on.
For correction. For instruction in righteousness.
And instruction in righteousness. This is why you have to have the right version. Because the right version is what is going to get you. It's going to get you the right instruction. The right version is going to get you the right reproof. The King James Version of the Bible is going to get you. It's going to correct you in righteousness, because the King James Version was closely translated from the actual Hebrew to the English. Go through that one more time.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Uh-huh.
And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Let's go back to 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. So who wrote the Bible? God. God wrote the Bible. The question is answered. We started off with the question, did God write the Bible? Who wrote the Bible, God or man? And we're clearly seeing through Scripture that God is the one that wrote the Bible. And we're seeing how God wrote the Bible. It's beautiful. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. Let's read that.
Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Right, so man didn't write the Bible, God wrote the Bible. We don't.
For the prophecy came, not in old time, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Right, so he chose holy men to publish his word as they spake in the Spirit, right? So let's go to the book of Isaiah 34 and 16. So now he's saying that these red men that God chose to write the Bible, these are holy men. These are chosen men of God to write the Bible. Why are we saying this? Because there is no other book that goes along with the Bible. You stick to the King James Version of the Bible. You don't look for any other books to go along with those words. Because those men that wrote those books, those weren't chosen men. Those words didn't come from God. You got books like the book of Enoch. You got the Quran, the book of Mormons. The book of Eli. You got all these different books that claim to be parts of the Bible that are out there. Those books don't go with the Bible. The men that wrote the Bible, the men that God chose to write the Bible, these men had his spirit on them, and they would speak. He was using these men to speak for him. So Isaiah 34 and 16. Let's read that.
Seek ye out of the book of the Lord.
Of the book of the Lord. Right, so what do we have to look at? The King James Version of the Bible. Not the Quran, not the Book of Mormons, not the Book of Eli, not the Book of Judas. Not the Book of Judas, okay? Some people want to go and look for the Book of Judas and to see his side of the story. That's not a man of God. So why are you looking for that, right? So Isaiah 34 and 16. Let's read that again.
Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail.
No one of these shall fail. None of the words of God are going to fail. Why? Because these words are from God. Read on.
None shall want her mate.
None shall want her mate. A mate is what? A man has a woman and a woman has a man. It's two a mate, right? So what is the scripture saying? That none shall want from me, talking about the word of God, the Bible. Meaning what? No book goes along with the Bible. No book is going to mate with the Bible. Right? Isaiah 34 and 16.
Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate.
None shall want her mate. All right, so now let's go back to the book of Psalms 68 and 11. And this will be the last scripture. So we're clearly seeing who wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible. Let's read that again, Psalms 68 and 11.
The Lord gave the word.
He gave the word?
The Lord gave the word.
Your man gave the word?
The Lord gave the word.
Your man wrote the Bible?
The Lord gave the word.
So we're clearly seeing out of the word of God, who gave the word? Who gave the word? The Lord gave the word. You know?
Hey, Captain. Hey, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's clear. It's crystal clear. The understanding is crystal clear. God gave the word, and we just want to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving us this knowledge through the Holy Ghost and Comforter. Again, it's always an unbeliever. You know, every time they don't understand something, or every time you prove to them something in the Bible, they want to say, man wrote the Bible. But it's clear that what God gave the word. God gave the word to these holy men. God published the Bible, you know, through the Spirit of God, and that we had these words today. We want to thank Jesus Christ for that. We also want to thank our reader today, also 500 Shawa Kwaga. We want to thank our teacher, Captain 13,000 Nabakar. This is pretty much the end of our class. Again, this is just not the end. It's more to it, you know. So definitely everybody want to log back in and keep coming up to the Blog Talk Radio. Join the church. Say, Tawad and Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.